This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Milwaukee County leaders are already hearing from many people who stand to be affected by funding levels represented in the proposed county budget. County Executive Chris Abley offered his budget proposal late last month, which includes $1.3 billion in spending and no increase in property taxes. Abley has also been in the news in recent days with a proposal to turn over health care coverage for county employees to the health exchanges included in the Affordable Care Act. He's with us in the studio to talk about some of these issues. Welcome back to the show.
Great to be here.
Let's start with the issue that's gotten a fair amount of attention in recent days. You floated the idea that the county could get out of the business of providing health insurance to its employees and turn that business over to the newly created health exchanges. What do you see as compelling reasons to make that change?
Sure. Well, the only reason I look and explore any new way of doing something at the county is to see if I can provide better value for the people who work there and for the people who live in the county. As everybody knows, regardless of what people might think policy-wise, the Affordable Care Act, it's law. I personally think we have a real opportunity as a country to find some efficiencies, and because there's the potential, I talked to a lot of people who know a lot about healthcare and said, let's explore the idea to see if we can provide the current or better level of care compared to what we currently do for county employees. If we can provide the same level or better and save money, then we would absolutely take advantage of that. So the way we wrote the budget assumes that we're going to continue the way we always have, but we essentially have what's like an asterisk that says, but we're going to explore the healthcare exchange here in Wisconsin. And if we can show the employees we can provide the same level of care or better and we can save money doing it, we are absolutely going to pursue that. And you know why? I'm always going to look to provide better care for employees and better value for taxpayers. So, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But we explore a lot of ideas, and that's how we've gotten a lot of the savings we've gotten over the years.
Well, what's the process for making that determination?
Sure. Well, we're working with I've talked to former Governor Doyle, who now works with the Kaiser Family Foundation, and R.W. Johnson, a foundation in healthcare policy. Talked to David Reamer, who, as many folks know, knows about as much as healthcare exchanges as anybody. And doesn't work for the Urban Institute. And we've talked to our friends at Health and Human Services. We've been talking to the White House about this. I don't want to do this if anybody's going to, have their feathers ruffled. And all of them understand the same idea. If we can make this work so employees would get better health care at a price that would be less to taxpayers, and then that savings can go back to continuing to do what we've been doing the last 2 years, which is try and restore programs, great. Let's look for it. And it's a good enough idea. It's worth trying hard to see if we can make it work.
Well, and so let's talk about some of the other aspects to the budget you've proposed. One of the key elements is this public safety initiative.
Mm-hmm.
Give us a thumbnail sketch.
Sure.
Of the need that you see that speaking to.
Well, like every decision I've made since I've been in office has been my best effort at getting the best value for your dollar. And in this case, all what you see in our public safety initiative is a lot of money and it's a lot of very specifically targeted investments. But I'll just start by saying we're not throwing darts. Every investment here, every dime that's being spent is based on data, research, analysis, programs that are similar and includes accountability. One of the things people will see is we're adding a lot of programming that didn't used to happen before at the House of Correction. So now where there used to be no programming at all, people can get GEDs, people can get job training, which dramatically reduces the likelihood that they'll recommit a crime, improves public safety, saves money because we don't have to pay for putting them up there. We're also doing volunteer work crews with the Hunger Task Force at the fish farm so inmates can learn skills. They can be on cleanup crews for parks, cleanup crews for highways, which is services where they get experience. It saves cost to taxpayers. And all of this has an impact on public safety. We're actually – things you might not think about. We're adding two officers to child support services. Child support services is the department that gets a check to moms who are trying to bring up kids on their own. And every time we can add one more mom to the list of someone who's getting a check every month, that's one more mom who is more likely to be able to stay with her family. Those kids are more likely to be able to stay in school and stay out of trouble with the law. And that absolutely has an impact on public safety. We're adding investigators, five, to the district attorney's office, again, based on their specific needs, leverage impact, filling a niche that isn't being filled. We have in the budget the funding for the Milwaukee Police Department's ShotSpotter. People will remember probably the police department was interested in this program. It's a cool technology, microphones. If a gun is fired in a very large area, instantly it can track the location of the gun, often the type of the gun. If there's multiple shots, the movement, that information goes immediately to squads who can respond, and response time matters and that sort of thing. People might ask, so why is the county picking up the cost for something that is in the police department, which is a city budget? Well, as I've been saying for a while, one of the most frustrating things when you're trying to solve public benefit problems is these artificial lines we put up between each other. And it turns out I live in the city, I also live in the county, and I also live in the state. It's the same people paying for these services. We're serving the same people. And if I can make an investment at county, wherever it is, if the benefit is going to accrue to people in the at the city, the county, the state, if it's our taxpayers, I'll do it. We did this, and we worked with the police department to get to it. The police department has been doing extra safety patrols on our transit system for 2 years now. They don't operate transit. We operate transit. They haven't sent us a bill. But as Chief Flynn would say, look, we all have to work together. And guess what? When we work together, we get to better solutions. Our public safety budget covers for that. It covers for training for the police department to deal with folks they deal with – they run into with mental illnesses. It pays for a full-time staffer to help those officers know where the placement opportunities we have, the right kind of treatment. This is something police departments have wanted for a long time. It means more time for squads patrolling, faster time between somebody being picked up with mental illness and the right kind of treatment, which means better outcomes for them, which means less times they're being dropped off at an emergency room expensively and with poor outcomes. All of this has an impact on public safety. But again, you know, if you look through that whole list of investments, what you're going to see, what they all have in common is we're not throwing darts. This is based on the highest return on public safety for your dollar, and we're not guessing, and we're going to hold these things accountable.
You mentioned transits, mm-hmm. and one of the issues that has been, I guess, in the background for some time mm-hmm. is the future of the contract to operate Milwaukee County Transit. How much do you think the success of your budget hinges on whether MV Transportation ends up with that budget versus continuing either with MTS or another company?
Sure. Well, you know, in terms of MV per se, the reason I did this, the reason I decided to look at this, just the quick history, the current provider started as a for-profit company that was pulled into the county in the 70s. We've had the same provider. The county has a contract. So we don't actually directly manage transit. MCTS does. We have the contract to the county. And the reason we put this out for bid is the same reason we do everything, to see if we can get an opportunity for somebody who could provide better service. It doesn't mean we necessarily change it. We encouraged MCTS to also put in a proposal. The only thing we said, we didn't predetermine a vendor. What we did was we want a contract that gives county and taxpayers more accountability. I think everybody would agree. You know, you read about $8 million too expensive contract that unfortunately from the county side we couldn't do too much about because that's not handled by us. There's been other issues as well. Regardless, we encourage the current provider, hey, submit a proposal. But what we told everybody who's going to provide, there's one thing we're measuring, and that's the outcome. More rides, lower fares, better service, and more accountability to the taxpayers. If the only thing that changed was we stayed with MCTS but had a better contract, which allowed us to hold them more accountable, then that alone would be great. MV, however, is a hell of a story. of the fact that this is a company that was started by an African-American woman in Texas who started as a driver and now has one of the largest companies doing this sort of work in the country. She has a board of directors where every single member of the board started as a driver. They get it. They get what it's like from the front end to the back end, and they provide great service. And I think the more people see what they be able to do and what this contract is about, the more they'll realize why we did this. But to be clear, you know, when I explore any new idea, can I guarantee it's going to be perfect? Nope. But I can guarantee if we don't look for the opportunity to improve, we're not going to. And I'm always going to look for the opportunity to improve.
Your budget calls for $3 million to continue the plan to fix long-neglected parks in urban areas. At the same time, it has come under some criticism for a plan to close two indoor pools and convert them to splash pads and indoor skate parks. The criticism goes that, you know, this is another example of struggling neighborhoods getting another strike against them and the further division of the county into a place with haves and have-nots. What's your response to that critique and how it relates to the additional money that you see going to the other parks?
It's a great question. I couldn't agree more that one of the issues in parks over the years is where we've deployed our capital investment. And there's a lot of suburban parks that have gotten some great investment, and that's great, and we're going to continue that. But as we started to address last year, there's a lot of parks in the city of Milwaukee for whom it's been a long time. They're overdue for work. And we're trying to address that. Yeah, the socioeconomic standards in a lot of these parks are not what they are around the suburbs, but that doesn't mean we don't need to address them. We absolutely do. So like last year, we are doing a lot of investment in parks in the city. And in terms of the indoor pools, that's a great question. The indoor pools they cost about $300,000 a year to operate. The two ones we're talking about replacing have about $4 million in maintenance. And the numbers for usage are declining. Yep, there are people who use them. But the good news is there's a lot of publicly operated pools. We've talked to the Milwaukee Public School System. They operate a lot, though they've got the same issue we do. They're expensive and usage is going down. The key here is that we're not removing pools. What we're doing is replacing them with amenities that lots more people use. Pools were built around the country, public pools, the big boom in the 50s. But if you talk to park systems around the country, things have changed a lot. You know, the reason you go to some of the aquatic facilities, you know, the splash pads with all the different things that people, you know, you see kids running around. The reason people like those, kids love them because they're used to lots of things to get their attention, having lots of activities. You know, we built pools when we didn't have the Dells and iPads and things that get your stimulate you constantly. And parents love the splash pads because their kids love them. The daycare facilities love them. But the idea is there will still be public pools. We'll be able to have an amenity that more people use. We will save a ton of operating money every year, and every dime of that is going back into parks. This isn't about expensively protecting the county of the past. This is about building a county for the future. 95 million people are in the millennials right now. Those are 29 and under. That's a third of the population of this country. We need to build a county that's ready for them. And every single day I wake up, I look at everything we do at county and think not just can I do more, better, for less. I think can we do the right thing for the population now? And that's the idea here. People aren't wrong to, you know, like old pools. I like if you and I were talking about what's our favorite car, we'd say, you know, a Jaguar E-Type. Beautiful. Thing is, you can fit two people in. The mileage isn't so great and they're in the shop all the time. If it's taxpayer money and it's about transportation, I'll get a minivan. I'm going to get good mileage, the safest car I can. I'm going to be boring and get you the best value. And that's what we're talking about here. Nobody wants to decrease. We want to increase the amount of people we're serving in the parks. And that's what this is about.
Chris Abele, thanks.
Great to be here. Thanks, Mitch.
Chris Abele is Milwaukee County Executive. You'll find more of our conversation and a link to Abele's proposed FY 2014 budget from WUWM.com/lake effect. A quick break now, and then our film contributor joins us to look at a trio of films, including one that Sir Isaac Newton would have been a big fan of. This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio.